Thanks, Rob. And in case you've heard some of those verses before, you have. So there is a little bit of overlap in some of the verses over the last few weeks as we work our way through Colossians, but the themes are different each week. And that's the great thing about God's Word, is that there's so much in there for us to discover. It can be easy as we live life to focus on what we don't have enough of. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough energy. I don't have enough help from others. Or I don't have enough of something else. But no matter how much time we have, we could always do with more. No matter how much energy we have, we could always have some more. No matter how much money we might have, we could always do with more. No matter how much help we might have in a particular area of life, we could always do with more. But it's what we do have that we focus on today from the book of Colossians. And through the book of Colossians, the word fullness is actually used quite a bit. And particularly in these first two chapters. And in the reading that Rod just read to us, you would have heard the word fullness in a number of different ways in those verses. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. Essentially, what it is speaking of is what isn't lacking in any way, of what is complete, of being all that we need. That's what the word fullness, when it was written here, speaks of. The word in the original language that we hear and read in English as fullness in our Bibles was the word pleroma in the Greek. And that was a technical term that meant the sum total. And in classical Greek, the word was used to speak or to describe of a crew on a ship. And it was used to describe when the full crew was on board the ship. Not some of the crew, not most of the crew, but the whole complete and full crew. Nobody missing, nothing lacking. In Colossians, there are three things that are described using the word fullness to speak to us of that in Jesus, nothing is lacking in any way. And the three things we're going to look at this morning are the fullness of God in Christ, the fullness of God's Word, and the fullness we have in Christ. Let's start with the first of those, which Paul starts with speaking about fullness by describing the fullness of God that is found in Christ. And he says it a couple of times. As Rob read to us in verse 19 of chapter 1, God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. That's Jesus. And then over into chapter 2 in verse 9, says it again. But in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. There's no half measures here. All. In Christ, all the fullness of the deity, that's God, lives in bodily form. Now, the situation in the church that Paul was first writing to and the culture was that many of the people in that church at Colossae were being challenged when it came to Jesus, as we still can be challenged today. They were being challenged that Jesus was just part of the picture when it came to God, that he was just one among many gods. The ancient Greeks and Romans believed in many so-called gods, as many cultures and religions still today in our world do. And there were many in the culture and even the church at Colossae who were saying that the fullness of God was found in the sum total of Jesus plus many other spiritual beings. That yes, God could be found through Jesus, but also through this or that other God. To them, Jesus was merely one amongst a whole assortment of gods or spiritual beings that between them could give you a picture of God. And that way of thinking, it's still there for many in our times. But Paul is countering that here clearly and completely. And Paul is saying, no, that's not correct. God has revealed himself in all of his fullness in Jesus. He hasn't put some in Jesus and some in others. But all of the fullness of God is found in Jesus. Not part of the picture, but the whole complete picture. I've never been to Rome. Some of you might have. But I've heard of some of the paintings in Rome, and one of those is in a high dome palace, and it's a painting called The Dawn. Has anyone seen that one? No. And this is a Baroque masterpiece by Guido Reni, And so, but it's up high and above, and it's on the ceiling of this dome, well above people, and so that people can see this this Baroque masterpiece. As a table has been placed directly beneath the dome, and on that table is a mirror. And when you look in the mirror, you see the complete picture of what's above. Jesus, who came to earth and lived in a body like us, gives us a complete and full picture of what God above is like. We don't need to look to anyone or anything else to complete our picture of God. It's found in full in Jesus. Jesus is not less than God by being human. He's not less than human by being God. He is both fully God and fully human. The fullness of God in a human body, as Paul describes here. What does all this mean? It means that if you want to see the fullness of God, what God is like, you don't need to look any further than Jesus. If you want to see the wisdom of God, you will find it in all of its fullness by reading the words of Jesus, who spoke the wisest words ever spoken. If you want to see the compassion of God, you will see it in its fullness in the life and words of Jesus, who demonstrated compassion for people like no one else who's ever lived. If you want to see the justice of God, you will find it in its fullness, again, in the life and words of Jesus, who spoke against and acted against all that was unjust. If you want to see the mercy of God, you will find it in its fullness in Jesus. The fullness of God in Christ is described by Paul here. But so, secondly, is the fullness of God's word. Verses 25 and 26 in chapter 1, Paul says, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. Last Saturday, I'll tell you a bit about yesterday in a moment, but the Saturday before that, I was out doing the rounds of some furniture stores looking for something. And I went into this store that had this huge half-price sign across the front window. That appealed to me. I love a bargain. Only problem is, when I asked about the half-price inside on this particular product, the salesperson told me that it only applied to the top-of-the-range stock. So back I went to the huge half-price sign out the front, only to discover in tiny print down the bottom that you could barely read, premium range only. I only got half the story, not the full story, and that misled me. God's word isn't like that, though. God's word does not give us half the story of God and his purposes. It gives us the full story. It is the word of God in all its fullness. It gives us the full truth of who God is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It gives us the full truth of who we are as people, that we've been created in God's image, but that we are people who don't reflect God's image in all of its fullness because of sin, and that we have all rejected God and his best for us. It gives us a full picture of God's kingdom purposes and of the way of salvation in and through Jesus. Gives us the full picture of what it means to be a part of God's family, the church, and of the future hope of heaven beyond this life. The Bible is not anyone's word. It's not my word. It's not anyone else's word. It's God's word. And it isn't lacking in any way. And that means that we can have complete confidence in it. Yesterday, I told you about the Saturday before. Yesterday, I put my complete confidence in a young adult who comes to the evening service when he took his first passengers up for a flight. Michelle thought I was crazy, but off we went from Moorabbin Airport, and we went up and over the bay. We did a couple of circuits of the city. I couldn't believe how close we got to the city and the MCG and the skyscrapers there, got some great photos, and then right out over the bay down to Mornington and back in. But as we're going along, there was just he and his dad and two of us in the back seat, four of us there, a bit bumpy, but he's describing to us, oh, the wind's getting up a bit. I'm not sure about this landing. What? But I had complete confidence in him. And he even described as we were coming in from the landing, and I've videoed it from the back seat. He even described as we're coming in from the landing, don't be alarmed. I may abort this landing because this crosswind is getting stronger. And he was just following exactly by the book how he'd been trained. And so we actually landed bump one, bump two, and up we went again. He said, once you get to bump two, you don't keep going. You get up again. And so up we round and came in, and sure enough, perfect landing second time round. I had to put my complete confidence in him, though. But in an even greater way, we can put our complete confidence in God's word. It does not lack in any way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 describes all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Everything that's in the Bible is the living, active word of God, breathed by God, inspired by God. There to we can rely on God's promises completely and fully. Have you come to understand that? Have you come to rely on that completely, the fullness of God's word and his promises? Have you understood the fullness of God in Christ? But if those two things aren't amazing enough, thirdly and finally, even more incredibly, the fullness we have in Christ. Verse 10 here in chapter 2 says, well, it says in verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And then it follows on and says, in Christ you have been brought to fullness. Paul was writing this initially to a group of followers of Jesus who were just as human and ordinary as we are today. They had their strengths and weaknesses. They had their joys and struggles. They had their hurts and hopes, as we still can today. They were just as flawed or just as vulnerable to discouragement, doubt, or despair as we can be today. Yet Paul said to them, and he says to us, you have been given fullness in Christ. God has chosen to share with them, with us, and with all of his followers his fullness. An incredible thing when you really stop and think about it. I've been given, you've been given, if you're a follower of Jesus, fullness, God's fullness, fullness in Christ. I haven't earned it, I don't deserve it, but it's God's gift to me in and through Jesus. None of us are complete or full in ourselves. I know myself how much I lack. And if we're all honest, we would realize that. But in Christ, it's a different story. There's no more we need to do. There's no add-ons needed. There's no super spiritual level we have to strive to reach. No follow-up special spiritual experience we have to have, as the false teachers at Colossae were claiming, and as some still today can claim. In Christ, we are accepted. We are blessed. We are made whole. As John says in John chapter 1, from the fullness of his grace, we have received blessing after blessing. Finding and following Jesus is our vision as God's people in this place. Once we found Jesus and the fullness of all that we can find in him through the love of God, as Ephesians describes in Ephesians chapter 3, where it says, to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Once we've found Jesus and come to experience that love, does that mean we've discovered all there is to discover? Of course not. And Paul speaks to that here in Colossians chapter 2 in verses 2 and 3. It says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Paul is saying here, Christ is like a rich mine that conceals a wealth of precious minerals. Just like a mine that you start to dig into and you discover wonderful resources, gold and silver and precious minerals. But do they stop at that? No. You keep digging. They keep digging further and further into the mine and discover more and more as they go. The deeper we go into Christ, the more we come to discover of the fullness of what's there, which is inexhaustible, really. There's so much more for me to find in Jesus, as there is for you, no matter who we are, no matter what age or stage of life or faith we're at. Is your cup half empty, or is it half full? There's a little saying about that little phrase, looking at things, the glass half full or the glass half empty. But in Christ, the cup of our life is more than half full. It's as full as full can be. It's overflowing. As the 23rd Psalm says, my cup overflows when the Lord is my shepherd. My cup overflows. I wonder today, do you need to come back and to realize that? Do you need to come afresh to Jesus for the cup of your life to be filled to overflowing with from the fullness of his grace? Don't look to someone or something else to fill or complete you when you lack strength, when you lack peace, when you lack purpose, when you lack security, when you feel like you lack in faith or in joy. Look to Jesus and the fullness of all that you can discover in him. Let's pray. We come to you afresh, Jesus, today, the one in whom the fullness of God is found. The one in whom we can find fullness, despite all that we're not. Thank you for all that you are, and thank you for all that we are able to be in you. We know that in the midst of life, it's easy to lose sight of that. It's easy to allow Satan to snatch that away from us and to cause us to think otherwise. But we come back to the truth and the full story of your word. What it tells us about you and your work, the fullness of your grace and blessings. And yet we realize too that there's so much more for all of us to discover still of you. So when the discouragement or the doubts or the despair might press in, even this week, bring us back to the fullness of who you are. Bring us back to the fullness of your word and the promises there. Bring us back to who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. When we might strive to seek to be accepted before you in greater ways, in and of ourselves, even this week. Bring us back to your gift of grace and the inexhaustible riches of your love that mean that we are loved and accepted in you, not because of what we do, but because of what you've done for us. So we come back afresh to you, Jesus, and all that you are, and all that you've done for us. And as we come in a moment to remember that through the communion time, we pray that you would continue to speak to us, and that you would continue to remind us of all that you are and all the work that you've done for us. And we pray all these things in and through the name of Jesus, our Saviour and our Lord.